Because today I want to talk about something, how your faith is like a fire. Now, the experiences of your life, the personality inside of you, your background, your gifts, they're like the logs of the fire. And God in his sovereignty, God in his timing, he arranges those logs. He gets them ready to light. Often provides us with people in our life that are a little bit like tinder, people that help us to believe, people that will help our faith to grow. And then in the fullness of time, God does a miracle. Fire. A faith gets ignited in our hearts. Maybe you've experienced it recently. Maybe you've experienced it a long time ago. Maybe you are waiting to experience it. But God can ignite this fire of faith in our hearts. He does. Now, for some, that faith grows very, very slowly. Some of you were exposed to the message of Jesus as a very young child, and it took time for that faith to flicker into a full flame. For some, it's like a tinderbox, like this dramatic life turnaround, and your everything changed in a heartbeat. Everyone's got their own story, but God is the author of that faith. God is the giver of that miracle gift. God is the one that sets our hearts ablaze. And as our hearts are set ablaze, we discover this newfound passion. We discover this newfound hope. We discover this newfound sense of calling in our life. We discover a newfound family of faith around us. And as the flames of our faith grow hotter, people will gather around the fire because they need the warmth. Would you pray for me, brother? I'm going through a tough time. So we build one another up. Sometimes people are coming in and they're like soggy lumber. I mean, just the trials of life have been raining on them so hard that they can't ignite faith on their own. They've got to find somebody that they can be close to so that they can just gather some of the warmth of that fire. That's a good thing. That's a gift. But today, what I want to talk about most is not so much how the fire starts or how it initially grows, but I want to talk about the greatest test of the fire of faith that lives in you and in me. That test is found in time. Because see, over time, it is really hard to maintain the fire. You might have plenty of people around you that are benefiting from the warmth of the flames. You probably have precious few who are actually helping to tend the fire. And so if we don't tend to it ourselves, over time, that flame, that fire, as it lacks fuel, the flame will get smaller and smaller. Life will rain on us, these things that happen that are out of our control, these things that happen that test our faith, these things that happen that seek to extinguish the work that God has in us. And that flame that used to burn so hot, that used to burn so bright, now it's just an ember. But I'm here to tell you, friends, the same God who worked that miracle of faith in your life, the same God that lit the fire, is the same God that can sustain the coals. And I'm here to talk about what it means to not just have the fire in your life, but how to actually feed it. Because the test of your faith will be time. As we pick up the story today, we're in a series through 1 and 2 Timothy. And it's a book written to Timothy as he was pastoring a church in Ephesus. Now, as we move from 1 Timothy to 2 Timothy, and we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1 today, if you're in your Bibles, and I hope you would be. 6 years has passed. And Timothy, who was sent by Paul to Ephesus to help get the church turned around, because this was a church that had kind of forgotten what they were all about. They'd forgotten grace. They had been following some bad leaders. They needed to follow better leaders. Timothy has been there now for 6 years. He's been serving faithfully, but every time you serve, every time you're in leadership, every time you are taking responsibility for someone or something, whether that's your marriage, whether that's your family, whether that's a ministry, whether that's just you trying to serve, you know, faithfully in the church over time, it takes its toll. And Paul, perhaps instinctively or perhaps divinely led by the Spirit, he knows that Timothy's getting tired. And Paul, he's getting tired too. As Paul writes this, it's not from a missionary journey like 1 Timothy chapter, or like the book of 1 Timothy. This is now Paul writing from prison. He's in chains. The year is AD 66. He's not even just under house arrest anymore like at the end of the book of Acts. This is 2 years later. And the persecution of the church under Nero was in full force. And Paul was aware that he was about to die. And so he's writing, these are among his final words. He's writing to Timothy over in Ephesus, trying to encourage him, even as Paul himself, it seems, needs some encouragement. Because Paul, at this moment in his life, he feels absolutely alone. He writes how everybody has abandoned him, that there is nobody there with him. And just before we hear these words from 2 Timothy chapter 1, just before we hear them, I just want to take a moment to bask in the irony of this moment. Paul, not that Paul, the Paul of the Bible, but Paul, one of the most influential people ever in history, apart from Jesus. I mean, from our perspective, we know that Paul would have universities named after him. Paul would have hospitals named after him. Paul would have cities named after him. That same Paul would, in his final days of life, he would wonder whether his life had made any difference at all. He would wonder whether the message of the gospel, the message that had changed his life, would ever make it out of the first century. Please don't try to estimate the value of your life solely by your circumstance. Only from the perspective of heaven can we know the full value and impact of our lives. And so Paul, in prison, in Rome, anticipating his own death, writes to Timothy, his beloved disciple, who has been serving now for a fairly long time at a very hard call in Ephesus. And as we hear these words, and I would invite us to stand as we hear them, just because we're going to be reading this extended passage of Scripture, I invite you to be listening for who are the people that spoke into Timothy's life that were like tinder for his fire, that helped him to find the courage and strength that he needed. And listen for the advice that Paul gives Timothy for how to keep that fire of faith alive in his life. And listen for how God may be speaking to you through the Word of God on how you can keep your fire of faith burning hot as well. Invite us to stand. And this Paul, who's also making a great difference with his life, will read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 for us.
Hear these words. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Amen. Please have a seat. So as you think about the fire of faith that burns in your heart, I want to talk today about how we can feed the fire, especially when the ember gets low. Now, in this first chapter, Paul talks about at least two things. I'm going to actually tackle them in reverse order. But two things that we need to do in order to help us to refuel our faith. And the first is this: we need to remember the gospel. And the second is this, that we remember our gifts. Remember the gospel. Remember your gift. The gospel which was given to all of us, and the gifts of God which were given to each of us. So here again, in 2 Timothy, we hear Paul reiterating the gospel. Here's how he puts it in chapter 1, verse 9. It says, who has saved us?
He has.
Jesus has saved us. And what did he do? He called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of whose?
His
own purpose and grace. He has saved us, and he has called us to a holy life. Do you know that you are saved?
Yes.
Do you know what you are saved from?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know that you are called? Do you know what you are called to? Maybe. Hope so. Not because of anything we have done, but because of whose purpose?
His
purpose. Do you know that God has a purpose for your life? That there are reasons why you are on this planet, why you woke up this morning, why you're still breathing air, why you made it through the teen years, why you made it through all those crazy things you did in your 20s, that time that you could have gotten a car accident, but you didn't. Do you know why he's preserved you? It's because he has a purpose for you. He's not done with you yet. If you're here, if you're listening, if you're watching on the internet, if you're breathing, if you're taking in nourishment, God has a purpose for your life. And all of it is because of his grace. We are saved. We are called. We have a purpose. We have grace. Just as you're looking to refuel your faith, as you're looking to let that flame burn hot again, ask yourself this question: where would your life be now if it wasn't for the grace of God? Where would your life be right now if it wasn't for the grace of God? Where would your life be 1,000 years from now if it wasn't for the grace of God? And as I think of my own story, I think of how I am so grateful that there were people that invested in me in my teen years. People that taught me about Jesus, people that presented the gospel to me. It spared me a whole lot of pain. My life could have gone a lot of different directions. And there were moments, I know I got right up to the edge, where these defining moments, these defining decisions, and it's only by the grace of God that I didn't go to some of those places. I am so grateful that I heard the gospel early on. I know many friends who have a story that's similar. It's all about grace, but it's different, where they've been to some places to which they never, ever, ever want to return. And they know it was the grace of Jesus that pulled them out of those dark places. Is that your story?
Hallelujah.
If it were not for Jesus and his grace in your life, where would you be right now? Spend some time with that question. Remember how you are saved. Remember how you are called. Remember how God has a purpose for your life. Remember the grace of God. Your fire will start to burn hot again. And then we need to remember the gifts that we have been given. Now, as Paul is writing to Timothy, he says this. He says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. You know, when the flame has died down, and maybe you've been around a campfire where it's just down to the coals, you need to blow on it. You need to give it some oxygen. You need to give it some air. You got to give it some room to breathe. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me again. Breathe on me. I need to feel your wind in my life. Breathe on me because I want my flame back. Breathe on me because I want my passion back. Breathe on me because I want my hope back. Breathe on me because I want my sense of calling back. Fan into flame the gift that God gave you. Because one of the challenges we have, whether that's tending a campfire or that's the metaphor of how we tend our faith in our life, is so very often as we, so very often in our faith, we're so busy serving other people that we neglect our own care. See, caring for others does not mean neglecting yourself. God has called you to let your flame burn hot so that others can be warmed by it. God has called you to let your flame burn hot so that others can catch that fire and the fire can spread and others can know that hope as well. And as we serve, as the rain of life beats us down, as we find that there are many friends who will gather around us when our flame is hot, and there are a few friends who will help us actually tend the fire, we need to be reminded to fan into flame the gift that God has given you. Now, I invited our teens to submit some questions. I think a few have been. So I want to tackle just a couple of them. I'm not totally certain what they are, but here we go. We have smart teens, in case you're wondering. Okay, first question. How can you encourage others to work with you to feed the fire? That's a good question. That's one of the reasons why we need each other, isn't it? That there's a fire of faith in your life, but there's a fire of faith in the lives of others. It's one of the reasons why we have groups in the church. You need a group. Show me a person who's isolated, and I'll show you a Christian who's at risk. We need other Christians in our life. So we need to also express, and if you're like me, this part's really hard, is actually express our need. You know, there's times where I lament. I mean, this is just me being stupid, but, you know, where I lament, well, how come there aren't more people that are telling me they're praying for me? The flip side of that is, how come I'm not asking more? When you find yourself isolated, when you find the flame of faith getting lower, are you willing to reach out? Are you willing to let others in? You know, one of the miracles that happens in connection groups is once they actually get honest and people actually start sharing what's really going on, we discover how much we actually have in common with one another. The lie that lives in my head from time to time, and I imagine lives in yours, is no one else can understand what I'm going through. The devil would love for you to believe that. So how do you encourage others to work with you to feed the fire? As you ask them, you let them in, and you take some steps. You take some steps to meet with somebody somehow, somewhere. Here's the other question, another super smart one. God, if God made your plan and made you, but we have free will, so how can there be both? That's another good question. You know, we remember that two things are true in the Bible. One is that God is absolutely sovereign, and two, that we are absolutely free. And somehow, both are simultaneously true. And so that means, in the fire metaphor, that we have a responsibility for the logs. We have a responsibility to try to keep our lives near the flame. But it's the sovereignty of God that sustains our faith. It's the sovereignty of God that gave us faith in the first place. Faith itself is a gift from God. So both are true. God is absolutely sovereign, and we are absolutely free. You do what only you can do, and then trust God to do what only God can do. Both are completely true. So this morning, as you think of the metaphor of the fire of faith, how's your fire? Is it burning hot? Are you enthusiastic and excited? Or do you find yourself today in a place where maybe it's down to the embers? Maybe the flame isn't burning as brightly as it used to. Or maybe all you feel is just some residual heat in the coals. How's your faith? Because what I hope we can do for one another, and what I hope in the next minute or two as we look to apply this message to our life, is I hope today that I can help you and we can help one another to feed the fire. To feed the fire. Would you bow your heads with me as we just interact with these themes in prayer? Would you take a moment just to imagine where your life might have been if it wasn't for the grace of God intervening in your life? And would you take just a moment under your breath to thank God for that miracle of grace? And then would you take a moment with your head bowed, with your eyes closed, to think about the gifts that God has given you in life. Think about the attributes, the things that you're good at, the things that you're passionate about, the things that you're feeling called to. And I'd like you to ask yourself this question. What's at stake? What's at stake? Yes, God is sovereign. Yes, God can move in spite of you. Yes, God can intervene, even if you don't. But there are people in your life that God has called you to serve. There are issues in your life that God has called you to advance. There are people in your spheres of relationship, especially your immediate family. They need your faith. They need your fire to be burning. What is at stake? What's at stake if their dad gives up on faith? What's at stake if mom gets lax in terms of her faith and her passion for Christ? What's at stake? What's at stake with the mission of God in the world if God's people are so distracted by their own pain? If God's people are so wrapped up in their own little petty conflicts that they fail to engage the larger mission of God in the world? What's at stake? What's at stake? Oh God, breathe your life into your people. Oh God, breathe your life into the church. Oh God, breathe your life into me. Holy Spirit, I want my faith back. Holy Spirit, I want my flame to burn hot again. Because what will happen if we fail at the mission God has put in front of us? Lord, let my flame burn hot. Lord, feed my fire. And Lord, help me to be somebody who is investing in the lives of others so that their flame can burn hot too. We need one another for the fire to grow. And so however this message, however this metaphor impacts your life today, you take just a moment to talk to God about it. Lord, feed my fire. Lord, feed my fire. And if today, if you're someone who just feels like the embers have burned low, where you're just struggling in your faith, would you allow me just the privilege of praying for you? Like, and if you feel like you need to just ask God for a special measure of his intervention and help in your life today, can we just make eye contact for a moment? I promise to not put you on the spot. There we go. There we go. That's right. That's right. It is so easy. It is so easy. And life is at times so hard, and we can get so beat down. But God wants to strengthen your flame. God wants to fuel your fire. Let me just pray for you specifically. And so, Lord, for those who we've just made eye contact with, God, there are some here today. We're so grateful that they're here. But they're here in the midst of pain. They're here in the midst of struggle. Oh, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, would you encourage them? Would you encourage us? Remind them of your grace in their life. Remind them that you love them just desperately. And God, remind them and encourage them with the purposes that you have for their life. We give ourselves to you. You, the God who gave faith in the first place. And you, the God who sustains it now. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.